Сейчас вы будете выполнять задания по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1.
Задание 1.
Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Like many children in my country, I first learned the value of money by getting an allowance. My parents thought it was really important that children should learn about money at an age when possible financial mistakes are not very costly for them. And you know what? I never wasted a single penny on silly things like sweets and chocolate bars. I used to buy books and magazines instead. Having pocket money made me financially wise.
Speaker B.
Some of my classmates get a lot of pocket money. I guess just how much money parents give their kids differs from family to family. I used to get a small weekly allowance, and my parents made it very clear what, if anything, I was expected to use that money for. If I really needed something, like maybe new sneakers or anything else, my parents bought them for me without saying a word. Things like snacks, tickets to the movies, and so on, that's what pocket money is for.
Speaker C.
I got my first allowance at the age of 7, and I spent every penny as soon as I got it. So you see, I learned the hard way that spending money should be done within a budget. My parents never offered me more money between allowances. I soon understood that having a budget means making choices about whether to spend or to save. When I got older, I became responsible enough to save money for larger purchases, like clothing and electronics. So my parents taught me a good lesson.
Speaker D.
Some of my classmates get pocket money for helping around the house. That's not the case with me. My parents say these jobs are a normal part of family life. If I do routine work, I don't get paid. However, my parents do pay me to do extra work around the house, like painting the fence and things like that. My parents think this can help me understand how a business works. I don't know, though. As for me, I prefer a regular monthly allowance.
Speaker E.
I can't imagine life if I didn't get pocket money. Some people say an allowance can turn kids into spoiled brats. But luckily, my parents don't share this opinion. There are a lot of good things one can do with pocket money, like sharing it in the form of gifts or giving it to a good cause. Or I can spend it buying things I want. And of course, there's a third option. I can save and maybe even invest it. But this I have never managed to do, honestly.
Speaker F.
When my parents gave me my weekly pocket money, They always used to talk to me about the importance of saving. They used to tell me that if I had an expensive goal, I had to cut costs and plan for the future. Then I read about banks offering services to help children and teenagers learn about personal finance, so I opened an account. At first, it didn't seem like a lot, but over time, it added up, and now I can pay for my gap year and first year at college.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Like many children in my country, I first learned the value of money by getting an allowance. My parents thought it was really important that children should learn about money at an age when possible financial mistakes are not very costly for them. And you know what? I never wasted a single penny on silly things like sweets and chocolate bars. I used to buy books and magazines instead. Having pocket money made me financially wise.
Speaker B.
Some of my classmates get a lot of pocket money. I guess just how much money parents give their kids differs from family to family. I used to get a small weekly allowance, and my parents made it very clear what, if anything, I was expected to use that money for. If I really needed something, like maybe new sneakers or anything else, my parents bought them for me without saying a word. But things like snacks, tickets to the movies, and so on, that's what pocket money is for.
Speaker C.
I got my first allowance at the age of 7, and I spent every penny as soon as I got it. So you see, I learned the hard way that spending money should be done within a budget. My parents never offered me more money between allowances. I soon understood that having a budget means making choices about whether to spend or to save. When I got older, I became responsible enough to save money for larger purchases, like clothing and electronics. So my parents taught me a good lesson.
Speaker D.
Some of my classmates get pocket money for helping around the house. That's not the case with me. My parents say these jobs are a normal part of family life. If I do routine work, I don't get paid. However, my parents do pay me to do extra work around the house, like painting the fence and things like that. My parents think this can help me understand how a business works. I don't know, though. As for me, I prefer a regular monthly allowance.
Speaker E.
I can't imagine life if I didn't get pocket money. Some people say an allowance can turn kids into spoiled brats, but luckily my parents don't share this opinion. There are a lot of good things one can do with pocket money, like sharing it in the form of gifts or giving it to a good cause. Or I can spend it buying things I want. And of course, there's a third option. I can save and maybe even invest it. But this I have never managed to do, honestly.
Speaker F.
When my parents gave me my weekly pocket money, they always used to talk to me about the importance of saving. They used to tell me that if I had an expensive goal, I had to cut costs and plan for the future. Then I read about banks offering services to help children and teenagers learn about personal finance, so I opened an account. At first, it didn't seem like a lot, but over time, it added up, and now I can pay for my gap year and first year at college.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Jack, you look really unhappy. I thought you'd be thrilled to be here. What's wrong? You can tell me.
Never mind, Tracy. It's just a slight headache, that's all. I'll be fine.
It seems to me you never feel well when museums are on the schedule. Aren't you enjoying the exhibition? Just take it easy. Relax. After all, it's your first time visiting the National Museum of American Art.
I would if I could, believe me. It's just annoying when you can't have fun doing something.
Fun? You're kidding, right? Museums are educational establishments for advancing our knowledge. You're not expected to have fun like at a dog show or flower exhibit.
Oh, come on, this is boring. How much longer are we going to stay here?
Hang in there. I promise it'll get interesting. Look at that lovely portrait, for instance.
Okay, it's not bad. It looks like it must be from the 19th century. So I guess you like realism?
Actually, I don't. But I enjoy looking at the hairstyles and dress designs from the past, and they're best shown in realist paintings. I'm really into fashion, as you know.
Well, I prefer pictures that are true to life, where every leaf and every flower is depicted exactly as it really is.
Like in still-life paintings?
Well, yes. If I have to look at art, I'd rather see that kind of picture.
Then look over there. There's a good one. Flowers in a vase, watermelons, grapes, cherries. Yum. It makes my mouth water.
Now that you mention food, I could do with a snack right now. I haven't had anything to eat since morning, and I'm starving.
I'm sure there's a cafe on the ground floor. Why don't we get a bite to eat and then return to the gallery?
Agreed. And if we have to go back, I'd love to see some landscapes. They're inspiring.
Especially the romantic ones. The dramatic contrasts in romantic landscapes are unbelievable. I'm glad you're finally beginning to feel more enthusiastic about museums.
I'm afraid you've missed the point. The sooner we begin, the sooner we finish. Let's go eat something.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Jack, you look really unhappy. I thought you'd be thrilled to be here. What's wrong? You can tell me.
Never mind, Tracy. It's just a slight headache, that's all. I'll be fine.
It seems to me you never feel well when museums are on the schedule. Aren't you enjoying the exhibition? Just take it easy. Relax. After all, it's your first time visiting the National Museum of American Art.
I would if I could, believe me. It's just annoying when you can't have fun doing something.
Fun? You're kidding, right? Museums are educational establishments for advancing our knowledge. You're not expected to have fun like at a dog show or flower exhibit.
Oh, come on, this is boring. How much longer are we going to stay here?
Hang in there, I promise, it'll get interesting. Look at that lovely portrait, for instance.
Okay, it's not bad. It looks like it must be from the 19th century. So I guess you like realism?
Actually, I don't. but I enjoy looking at the hairstyles and dress designs from the past, and they're best shown in realist paintings. I'm really into fashion, as you know.
Well, I prefer pictures that are true to life, where every leaf and every flower is depicted exactly as it really is.
Like in still life paintings?
Well, yes. If I have to look at art, I'd rather see that kind of picture.
Then look over there. There's a good one. Flowers in a vase, watermelons, grapes, cherries. Yum. It makes my mouth water.
Now that you mention food, I could do with a snack right now. I haven't had anything to eat since morning, and I'm starving.
I'm sure there's a cafe on the ground floor. Why don't we get a bite to eat and then return to the gallery?
Agreed. And if we have to go back, I'd love to see some landscapes. They're inspiring.
Especially the romantic ones. The dramatic contrasts in romantic landscapes are unbelievable. I'm glad you're finally beginning to feel more enthusiastic about museums.
I'm afraid you've missed the point. The sooner we begin, the sooner we finish. Let's go eat something.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, everybody. Here we are with our weekly program about education in America. Today, we're looking at international students attending colleges and universities in the USA. Here is our expert, Jane Brown, an aide to the president of the Institute of International Education.
Good afternoon.
So, Jane, how many international students are coming to the States to study?
A new report says there are more and more of them. In particular, it notes a large increase in the number of international students from China. These findings are from the latest edition of the Open Doors Report, which is a joint project of the State Department and the Institute of International Education, a nonprofit educational and training organization. It documents the record number of international students in the United States during the 2011-2012 school year. It says that more than 750,000 international students were attending American colleges and universities during that period. That represents an increase of almost 6% compared to 1 year earlier.
What about Americans? Are they also studying abroad in bigger numbers?
Well, by comparison, the number of Americans studying overseas increased by just 1%.
You say many international students in America come from China?
The report says about 200,000 students at American colleges and universities were from China. That is an increase of more than 23% over the year before. That was the highest level ever. And it really showed in the figures. It also means that international undergraduate enrollment was higher than graduate enrollment.
Do you have any explanation for this trend?
Many Chinese families can pay for the highest quality education for their children. We know many of them have enough income to afford to send their children anywhere in the world. And for the most part, with all the options they have, Chinese students still choose the United States as their destination of choice.
Good for us. Any other interesting facts about the statistics of international education in America?
Chinese students are not the only ones attending American colleges and universities in large numbers. After China, India sends the second largest number of students to the United States for higher education. And South Korea is the third with about 80,000 students.
So why do so many foreign students want to study in the United States?
I believe the advantage America has is that we have a very diverse system. At the same time, there are over 4,000 universities and colleges in the United States. And what that tells us is that there is a lot of room to host international students. The number I've just provided you may seem huge, but actually foreign students represent less than 4% of the total student population in American higher education.
Does this mean there is still a lot of room for international students to come to us?
Exactly.
Thank you, Jane.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Hello, everybody. Here we are with our weekly program about education in America. Today, we're looking at international students attending colleges and universities in the USA. Here is our expert, Jane Brown, an aide to the president of the Institute of International Education.
Good afternoon.
So, Jane, how many international students are coming to the States to study?
A new report says there are more and more of them. In particular, it notes a large increase in the number of international students from China. These findings are from the latest edition of the Open Doors Report, which is a joint project of the State Department and the Institute of International Education, a nonprofit educational and training organization. It documents the record number of international students in the United States during the 2011-2012 school year. It says that more than 750,000 international students were attending American colleges and universities during that period. That represents an increase of almost 6% compared to 1 year earlier.
What about Americans? Are they also studying abroad in bigger numbers?
Well, by comparison, the number of Americans studying overseas increased by just 1%.
You say many international students in America come from China?
The report says about 200,000 students at American colleges and universities were from China. That is an increase of more than 23% over the year before. That was the highest level ever, and it really showed in the figures. It also means that international undergraduate enrollment was higher than graduate enrollment.
Do you have any explanation for this trend?
Many Chinese families can pay for the highest quality education for their children. We know many of them have enough income to afford to send their children anywhere in the world. And for the most part, with all the options they have, Chinese students still choose the United States as their destination of choice.
Good for us. Any other interesting facts about the statistics of international education in America?
Chinese students are not the only ones attending American colleges and universities in large numbers. After China, India sends the second largest number of students to the United States for higher education. And South Korea is the third with about 80,000 students.
So why do so many foreign students want to study in the United States?
I believe the advantage America has is that we have a very diverse system. At the same time, there are over 4,000 universities and colleges in the United States, and what that tells us is that there is a lot of room to host international students. The number I've just provided you may seem huge, but actually, foreign students represent less than 4% of the total student population in American higher education.
Does this mean there is still a lot of room for international students to come to us?
Exactly.
Thank you, Jane.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.